Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. This satsang, this radio program, is for Saturday, October the 24th, 2015. I want to thank my sponsors, all of you who make this possible. It is only through your tax-deductible gift that this radio program, our TV programs, and frankly, everything we do here on Aspire is made possible. It's through your gifts, your kindness, your love that makes this possible. And I hope that there will be others of you today who will become sponsors and help us sustain our radio program. You can do so. Being a sponsor is a lovely thing. It helps humankind. There are many different things that we do here at Aspire to serve humankind, this radio program being one, the commentaries, the podcasts, the video casts, the TV programs that I make, my work at hospice. There are just so many things you can do when you make a gift to Aspire that will serve humankind. Right now, we're in our fall fundraising drive, and we need your support to sustain our program. This is why we are here, as a kind of a community, a way of helping humankind for those who have, shall we say, the insight to see the truth, maybe looking for a relationship with it in another kind of way that most people don't. So I hope you will become a sponsor. Our mystery donor will match your sponsorship should you become a sponsor today or between now and January. Make a donation. If nothing else, make a donation. It's very, very important. I hope you understand. Well, today is the day. I woke up. I did my meditation. I worked on my commentary. And then I started to look at subjects for this radio program. I've been putting this off for a lot of reasons, mainly because I think I wasn't really ready to talk about it in public too much. But we're going to talk about our old friend sex. Yep. This is the one that everybody emails me about. I get two basic emails. One is about money, a lot of money ones, and I'll deal with that in the next program. And the other one is about sex. So I thought it would be okay today. I'm in that mood to talk to you about sex. And I hope that in some way I'm able to help you. I really am. First question, I am going to leave the names out. Now, the people that have written me said it was okay to use their names, but I don't know. I kind of feel like they need to be anonymous, so I'm going to leave them as such. I will tell you if they're a male or a female, and that'll help. I feel guilty about the way I have sex. I am into fetishes. Should I go see a psychologist or a psychiatrist about this? This came from a male. Oh, and then forgive me. Does this have any spiritual connotation to it, do you believe? Everything has spiritual context, everything. And sex is one of those things that has that kind of context to it. We, because we are not interested as a populace and as a whole in anything spiritual, religious, yes. Kind of, sort of. You know, you'll go see the Pope and the Dalai Lama. The things that they say and do just blow me away, the stupidity of both of them. But I can't get into that. I just did, didn't I? Well, people will go and they want religious leaders and everyone to tell them what is moral, what is right, what is good, what is bad. And that's basically where people come from. It's all about securing our fears, our insecurity through moralism. Securing our insecurity through moralism. And because we are moralists, and yet we love breaking those morals because that turns us on, it sends the chemicals going on, we tend to really be hypocrites, all of us. So When I use the word sex, I'm talking about basically intercourse. I am not here to argue about homosexuality and all that. I'm just going to lay it out here for you. I don't believe that people who are homosexuals, gay, are any different than anyone else. I do believe, and I am sure, that they come into this world this way. I don't think they learn it. I think it's natural. I do not have a problem with it at all. Okay? So the people here that are writing are generally, well, I would imagine, I don't know if they're hetero or homo. I don't know. This first question, I don't know. But to answer the question is very important. If you're feeling guilty about something you're doing in your sexual activities, and this includes intercourse, of course, and all of that other stuff that is normal. If you are hurting another person, if you are in some way betraying something of love within you, of basic kindness, then there is reason to be concerned. Fetishes are dangerous things. They give us the license to do really, really terrible things. And they take the whole experience that could be about another kind of world that lives within us, a world of tremendous beauty, and make it ugly. Now, the problem is the chemical reaction. First of all, sex is about chemistry. It just is. It's about testosterone. It's about all sorts of things in the male, his upbringing with his mother, how he dealt with it, what he's brought into this world. Estrogen for the woman, for the lady, she has all that stuff going on. The sex is a battle within most people. They engage in it through a lot of, well, what shall we say, chemical reaction. And when the chemistry is right in a person or in two people, well, no matter who they are, we indulge. We get involved in it. Now, the indulgence, that's what this sounds like to me from this person. And I'm going to leave, of course, it is a male and leave his name out of it. I don't know specifically what you're talking about. But if you are feeling suspicious about it within yourself, about the acts you are performing in sex in this way, then maybe you should go and talk to someone. I would think that there are many great counselors out there who know a lot more about sex and what complicates a person's mind through emotionality and the relationship we have with our parents or whatever it was that may have caused this, what you seem to think of as something to be guilty about, go and talk to someone. I would think that would be very healthy and very intelligent. And I don't know what you're going to get from them, basically. You know, this is normal, this is okay. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this about the background of all of it. In money and in sex, the worst parts of us can come out. And they can come out in ways that are very self-destructive, I have found. When you combine sex with violence, which many people associate it with due to watching disturbing movies both on television and in the movie theater, and or you associate it with money and the power, and that's all sex is to most people, power. You know, who has the power and the power to create something, whether it be create an orgasm, create some kind of ecstasy, create a child, whatever, create a relationship. It's about power and the struggle with power that we all have within ourselves. If that is your mode, you do need help. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what is a healthy sexual attitude to have. I don't think anyone really knows that. It has to do with something of being true to your heart. If you do not live your life true to your heart, no matter what you are doing, whether it be in money or sex or work or raising your children or whatever you are doing, you're never going to find authentic happiness, authentic bliss, authentic beauty. You're never going to find it. So if you're feeling guilty and you find that the guilt turns you on, or you're feeling guilty and you feel bad about what you're doing, but you can't help doing it anyway as a compulsion, then you might need some help. Now, the information you gave me doesn't give me a lot to work from here, but it is a valid question. And if you have suspicions about it, you need to go get some help by a professional, someone who knows the ins and outs of this kind of psychology. And it is a psychology. It truly is. One of the wisest statements I have ever heard is, don't question your thoughts, question your heart. And you must find in your heart what's going on within you. And if this act is a part of the hardness of your heart, and no pun intended there, then you know you have something you need to work on. It is hard to tell a person who is obsessed by sex not to be obsessed by sex. It can't be done. It just can't. And there are many, many, many things that a person has to go through in order to understand the nature of their life. And one of them might be this for you. I don't know. It might be something in your genealogy, in your lineage, in your genetics, as well as your DNA, and it needs to be explored. And if you're writing me about this, then it is very important. You might have some suspicions, and you need to go and get some professional help. I hope that helps this person. I hope he will forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from a woman. I've heard you speak many times about being conscious and even talking about consciously giving and conscious sex. What is conscious sex to you? Everything should be conscious. Eating, laughing, crying, working, playing, everything, including sex. What is conscious sex? It is moving sex out of the realm of obsession and compulsion, urging, and starting to look at sex as union. It is using a sex not as a way to perform and to, like, maybe using alcohol to make it possible to forget a person's woes and problems. It can be used as a way, if conscious, to realign yourself with your loving heart. It is only in the lovingness of your heart that we awaken those areas within us that typically don't get much attention for the simple fact that we are not conscious that they exist. Conscious sex means that we are working towards the heart. We are aware of everything, both the erogenous zones that are in the human body, but in those spiritual places where sex can open up bliss, insight, compassion, intuition. It can open up a whole world if a person is willing. But there has to be devotion to the process, not to the person. And if I am devoted to the person and not the process first, then I become enslaved. If I am devoted to the process of being conscious through sex, the person then becomes sacred. They do not become just a vehicle for sex. They do not become just an object of sex, male and female. They become that beautiful, beautiful conduit that opens up superior bliss. A bliss that has nothing to do with right and wrong, good and bad, has nothing to do with what we want and what we don't want. It has to do with the love in our heart, the compassion of our being, living our life from a different point of view, a point of view where we are living to understand the awakening that can live within us. Something of love is involved in everything that we do when we are conscious in sex. We can bring whatever experience we have found through our sexual activity with the sacred, the other person, and bring it into our life through creativity. That you can find beauty in everything. I can always tell a couple who have been working on themselves, and they're very, very few, because they find great joy, not just in sex, but in everything they do, from cleaning a toilet to feeding their families to speaking with people. They find that the beauty is the object of the sex, not the orgasm. The orgasm can certainly be something of sustained beauty if a person knows how to sustain orgasm beyond the physical and bring it into the spiritual, bring it into the realm where we are loving, sharing, and giving constantly in our life as a way of expressing the heart. Now, this is a very sacred moment. You really have to train yourself for it. I think most people just use sex to feel good, to get the day off of them, or to make them forget the day. It's like a shot of bourbon, I guess. But this is the way most people use it. And to use it in such a manner is an ugly way. To use it as bliss, to use it as beauty, to use it as kindness, to use it in a way that goes beyond intercourse and come to a place where we are not stuck with intercourse, as it were, where we are not looking at it like, I can only find this beauty if I'm having intercourse. No, there's another way. It is to take what happens in intercourse and bring it up to the heart. And then to start to let the heart live the life for me, rather than me living my life in fear and hate. There is angry sex. I have found people engage in it. There is depression sex. I found people get involved in. There is all sorts of motives and agendas in sex based on emotionality. If I keep sex in emotionality, if you keep sex in emotionality, you're going to be a slave to your fears, your hates, and your angers. You're going to be a slave to everything that makes you unconscious and me unconscious. Sex is simply one of those ways in which we can promote loving kindness and the blessing of goodness. It is not something that is ugly. It is something that can be tremendously beautiful. Here's the deal. You are beauty, and sex transcends the body. When the body is used as a conduit for love, great love, not the human love, not the ego love, not the vanity love, not the human love, not the emotionality kind of love, but reaches out further, further, deeper, where orgasm and ending of orgasm of sex, where it's the culmination of everything, goes by the wayside. And you find that through sex, you are touching the infinite. And this infinite is not a conclusion, it's a continuum. Orgasm is an ending. But real sex, real authentic sex, goes beyond the ending, beyond orgasm. It goes into the very life. This is conscious sex. This is where everything is about creativity, playfulness, beauty, where you are touching the essence of your origins. Now, to understand this and to be aware of it, of course you have to meditate. You have to work upon yourself. You're not going to get it listening to me here on this radio program. You have to go beyond it. You have to live it beyond the physicality of it. You must want it more beautifully and more directly than anything you've ever wanted in your life. It can be a way of sharing, of loving, of giving, of understanding. And it will bring you to something very beautiful in your daily living. So, my dear one, what is conscious sex? If you are conscious in money, if you are conscious in kindness, if you are conscious in creativity, if you are conscious with your tasks, even though they may seem mundane to you, then you will be conscious in sex. How we do anything is how we do everything. Most people are not interested in how to allow sex to be the continuum of their heart. They're only interested in the physical stuff. And that's where it ends. And that's why we're overpopulated. And that's why we have so many problems. Sex can be the introduction to love. Please forgive me. Namaste. So many people use it kind of like alcohol or pot, just to make them forget who they are and what they've done. It's sad. Last question. Sex is important to me. My husband fears it, though. What can I do to get him over this? Well, I don't have a lot of information here, but it is an interesting thing that I know a lot of men after marriage, according to statistics, become afraid of sex. They are intimidated by it in many different ways. And I don't know what's happened between the two of you. So, you know, I'm just throwing darts here in the dark. So, because you didn't give me more information, but because this question I get a lot, where the male becomes afraid to have intercourse with his wife, it could be a lot of things. You know, it's an interesting thing. What invites sex into a person's life? Chemicals. It's a chemical thing. So you're going to have to be able to talk, communication. You're going to have to talk to him about communion with her, with you. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like you anymore. You know, maybe there are things that you do and say to him that he might find demeaning. I have had students sit in the counseling room, and I've watched the women and listened to them demean their husbands because they can't get an erection. And I have a joke about it, you know, that there's nothing like a woman to take the erection out of a man. To sit there and complain about it, to moan about it, to bitch about it, is certainly not going to help the situation. One of the things I think you might want to look at is, do you humiliate your husband? Do you embarrass him? What is it in him that is so timid? Find out what it is. And you can't be forceful. So that doesn't mean you jump on him and choke him and hit his head up against the wall and say, tell me, tell me, tell me. You're going to have to change your demeanor. I don't care what anybody really says. Women are in charge. In charge of sex and in charge of many, many things in this world. And while rape is another story altogether, I can't even get into that. That's where the male goes nutty and is mentally ill. But when a husband and wife are together and it is mutual, it's agreed upon that sex is going to be a part of the lifestyle that they are going to live, the woman generally has the options. She's the one that says, this is how it's going to be, or this is what I like, or this is the way I want it to work out. This is the way I want to feel. She sets the standard. I don't know what your standard is between you and your husband, but you need to find out, because evidently something's amiss there. I don't know what it is, but I know what it could be. And typically what I've found in the counseling room when I'm working with couples is one or the other, male or female, has embarrassed or humiliated the other person and made it very difficult for them to enjoy the beauty of it or to take sex and move it to another level, which it always needs moving to another level. Can't let it coagulate, you know. It can be a pool of great refreshment and beauty, or it can become a cesspool. And most couples make it a cesspool because one or the other is intimidated by something that the other person says and does, not only in sex, but outside the bedroom. And you might want to explore the nature of your relationship with your husband, and maybe you can find something in that. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, what a day. I hope this helped you. I got a lot of other thoughts about it, but I just thought this might be part one of something that's really important to your life. Tomorrow, I'll talk about money. Very interesting. I'll bet you can't wait to get to that one either, eh? Have a beautiful day. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.